Hey, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. You are the quietest, most polite crowd ever. That is so kind of you. Welcome to the hostel. We're doing a show in a hostel. Travel is important. I didn't realize that growing up. Here's how you know travel is important. If you don't travel enough, you will base your entire existence from where the fast food is around you. My mother only gets directions based on Burger King, Donald's, Taco Bell, etc. She lives about 10 minutes outside of Chicago. Chicago is a grid. It's very, very easy to follow. If you're brand new, if you've been there forever, it's very difficult to get lost. 6300 North means 6300 North. There's no weird streets. It's not like D.C. This is not designed like a giant pentagram. This is a very basic city. Yet she only understands how to get, I'd say, maybe 5 miles based on where Taco Bell and Dominic's is. That's good because she's obese. And that's the good thing about being a traveler. If you're a traveler, you're inevitably going to walk a lot more and not be nearly as obese. Maybe that's an American thing. I think it is. I apologize. The first time I stayed at a hostel was unplanned. It was about 8 years ago, and I was in New York City. It's a very fine city. I recommend you visit. They have trash everywhere. Go and visit. It's delightful. I go to New York City. I go for a music conference. It's a fantastic music conference. I get to see every band and blah, blah, blah. It's a fun time. We go there thinking, we know so many people here. There's no way we're not going to have a place to stay. How could you not? It's a city that doesn't sleep. We didn't sleep the first night because we didn't have a place to stay. Ladies and gentlemen, we just walked for 60 blocks for 6 hours straight. And you're 20. Who cares? Whatever. I'm chain smoking for the duration of it. That's a very European thing to do. So that's why I like Europeans more. You guys like smoking, I'm with you. Anyways, we're so tired and punch drunk. The bag I am carrying around lights on fire because of the ash going into the bag. I don't notice for about a city block, and by the end of that city block, I no longer have a bag. I have two pieces of cloth with two separate handles now. This will not suffice. We end up walking around. We finally find the one 24-hour Starbucks. By the way, Starbucks, you should stop that. Never is that a good idea. Why would you need to be open at 4 a.m. so somebody could ruin your bathroom? Yes, that's the only reason Starbucks is open. Anyways, we hang out in the Starbucks for the next 4 hours. We decide, hey, guess what? All the morning shows are starting. We might as well make an appearance. So we do. We walk in front of the Today Show mirror. That's quite boring. But then we go to Fox and Friends, and that was actually fun. We just kept throwing my now-damaged bag at the window of Fox and Friends until we were kindly asked to leave. We did leave. The next night, we said, this is enough. This is no longer romantic in any possible way. We need a bed. Thankfully, the New York City Hostel, Hostel International, has a bed. Thank God. So we go, we check in, and it's actually quite nice. We meet a lot of nice people. We go back to the conference, blah, blah, blah. The following day, we have nothing to do. The conference is over. We have to check out, but we got to kill a few hours until our 24-hour train ride to Chicago. Because when you're 20, you don't realize, oh, it's actually cheaper to fly and you don't lose a day. You're very dumb. Anyways, we start talking to the people at the hostel. They're very nice people. And that is also the day I found out I was an Anglophile. Do you know what an Anglophile is? I'll tell you. It's when you're a 20-year-old male and you have a crush on every single woman with a British accent. This does not end well if you are in a relationship like I was at the time. That relationship is over, I am sad to say, because I'm an Anglophile. But that's why it's important to travel. It's important to meet new people. It's important to sleep in a bed. And it's also important because you don't always want to have to use the Starbucks bathroom at 4:30 in the morning, unless you really love heroin, because if you do love heroin, that is the place to be. Is that too offensive? I don't think I advocated for heroin use. I said if you already like heroin, yeah, don't become a heroin addict just to try it out. You can trust me on that. Maybe meth. I've been watching a lot of Breaking Bad. Anyways, we're going to have a fantastic show. This is a talk show. I want to thank each and every one of you for coming. You guys are so fantastic. You're already looking at me and not yelling. That's amazing. I can't believe it. We have Evan Keeling. We have Haywood Turnipseed Jr. We have Ugly Purple Sweater. Ian's going to play some music. Ian, take it away. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. I'm butting in to let you know that I write a weekly column for this website called Brightest Young Things. The name of the column is called Behind the Desk, and it's pretty much whatever is applicable to this talk show or talk shows in general, things that I find fascinating. It goes up once a week at brightestyoungthings.com, and you can find every column at youmethemeverybody.com. So if you haven't been to the website in a while, that's an excuse to go. Once again, it's called Behind the Desk. It's a weekly column I write, and I'd really appreciate it if you gave it a glance. Thanks for listening, and back to the show. All right. What are you playing? I don't know if I like that. You are in a band that sounds nothing like that. I actually do enjoy your band quite a bit. The band is Lenorable.
You don't have to lie.
I'm not. Why would I ask you to play and just make fun of you consistently if I also didn't like you?
Okay, fair enough.
You are in a band, and the band is Lenorable, and we've said that three times now. You have a Kickstarter fund.
We have a Kickstarter fund in progress right now.
Why?
Why? Because we want to make a record. We have a 7-inch vinyl record that we want to make. It's going to glow in the dark.
Okay, that's the thing. The Kickstarter is this thing where people can pledge money and blah, blah, blah. It's like a record label without the weird cokehead executives. So
right. You don't have to, like, you know, blow a dude in an office to...
Why'd you say that? That's disgusting. Take it back. Anyways.
I take it...
Anyways,
the record industry,
you're trying to press a bunch of 7 inches in glow-in-the-dark vinyl.
Yes.
Why?
Because why not? Glow-in-the-dark is so rad.
Okay, glow-in-the-dark.
I mean, it,
you realize you're an adult, and you just said glow-in-the-dark is so rad.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
I was going to say that maybe it's glow-in-the-dark because of the themes of your music.
Yeah, I mean...
Lisa's in the band, and she's agreeing with me vehemently.
Yeah, I mean, our band is really inspired by, like, horror movies and weird authors and stuff. This album is actually based on Edgar Allan Poe stories.
Okay. Why are you basing an album on Edgar Allan Poe stories?
Long story short, we were up in Baltimore at the Poe House Museum, and we were up there for his birthday party. They have a birthday party for him every year.
Really?
And they announced that the city of Baltimore cut something like $85,000 or $86,000 from their budget specifically for the Poe House Museum up there.
Okay. And you recommend people going to the Poe House?
Oh, yeah. It's a great piece of history, and like if you're in the area, you know, it's where Poe lived and wrote.
Are you a very large Baltimore Ravens fan?
I don't
that
really
joke did not go over well at all in a hostel, and people don't understand NFL football. I apologize. Here's what the Baltimore Ravens are. The Baltimore Ravens are a very, very, very good football team. They've been around the league about 15 years. They are so good that their MVP linebacker murdered someone and literally got away with it. That's how good that team is. Anyways, you guys are actually one of the four bands playing a benefit show for the Poe House.
Yes.
When is that?
We're playing it October 7th. It's going to be at Velvet Lounge here in
October
D.C.
7th at Velvet Lounge. It's a great reason to come back to D.C. and to go to Baltimore. You're going to be playing some music, but it won't be nearly as awful as the first one?
Sure.
Fantastic. Coming to the couch in a fireside chat manner, he's part of D.C. Conspiracy, which is not probably what you think. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Evan Keeling, everybody. Evan Keeling. Oh, really? You're not good with this transition yet. This is Ian's first show. I was like, oh, he'll be great with this. No, not at all.
It sounded like I kind of came up to like Inspector Gadget. It was like...
Yeah, it started off really well.
It was going to be really nice. I was excited.
No, it really faded away.
It really, you know, rocked me into it. Yeah.
No. All right, Evan, you are part of DC Conspiracy.
Yes, I am.
What is DC Conspiracy?
DC Conspiracy is a collection or a collective of... local DC area artists and writer comic book artists and writers.
That's not your day job.
No. Comics aren't the money making scheme that blogging and podcasting is. We don't make nearly that as much money as you guys do.
That would be a great awful competition of who is more destitute. Yeah. Who can get on public?
Who is losing the most money in their passion?
I don't know. Ian says
it's
music.
Me.
I think it's me. See, that's how the arts community is competitive, is who is the poorest. Anyways, you work for the Smithsonian.
Yes.
But you choose to do this at night.
Yes.
Why? What about comics is good? Why are you passionate about this?
Well, I really like to draw.
Okay.
But also, I'm not wired in the way that I can do a painting. Like a lot of people will do a painting and they'll put... like a whole bunch of concepts into just a single image, and they'll think, okay, I've got, you know, this is about, you know, the war in Iraq and my mother and my father's
death.
So
it's blankets.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so insider. Even I don't even know if that worked. Craig Thompson, everybody, figure that one out.
But I like to tell a story in sequences. I like to tell, like, it, pace it out.
Why not say short stories or novels?
Because I'm terribly lazy when it comes to writing.
Really?
In that manner.
What comes first, the image or the story?
It depends. I've been working with a lot of people on ideas where I am coming up with concepts and getting writers to work with me because I tend to get too excited about the images and don't write ahead enough ahead of time. And so I start drawing pages, as you'll see by the many failed web comics that I had on Brightest Young Things.
Yeah, we both kind of work for Brightest Young Things, which means we are both artistic poor people.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that
that's the
being
theme.
We're like working for Brightest Young Things make you an artistic poor person?
Yeah, that's really what it means. DC Conspiracy is a collective of people. Is that how you find the people that are going to write the things that you draw?
Well, the people that I'm working with right now happen to be from, well, most of them do. I mean, like, I've worked with a couple of different people from the group. I also have a friend who's writing something for me that's completely outside of the group. But the main focus of the group is it's a social group that we get together once a month at a bar and drink and kind of talk comics.
Is that important?
The what?
Being in a social atmosphere if you're doing a solitary piece of art.
It is very important.
How so?
Because you can, after a while, you can start to just, you're sitting at home, you're working on your stuff, you're not thinking about like going out and doing stuff with other people. You're also not kind of getting a perspective of the work that you're working on. So,
go ahead, continue.
Well, I mean, like, my art improved dramatically once I started into the group. Before the group, I had never completed a full comic. And I completed my first full comic and then started being part of anthologies, and my art grew a whole lot because every month I had to bring something to the group. And so everybody would be there and I'd be, you know, you'd come and you had to bring something that was better than last time or something that somebody hadn't seen or something to try to impress everybody else. But
can't that also just be a cycle of supportiveness that kind of makes people limited in what they do? Having that much support, can it be bad?
It could be if it was all support.
Really? Are you guys critical of each other?
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, they're you're definitely not, everybody's not always.
So you're saying when a bunch of people meet up in a bar setting, sometimes there's anger in that situation?
Yes, sometimes.
I am surprised.
We're usually nice enough. Nobody really gets angry at one.
Has there ever been a bar fight with a bunch of comic nerds? No offense.
Not with our group. I'm sure there's been a bar fight with a bunch of comic nerds because there are a lot of comic nerds that drink a lot.
Do you take offense that I called you a comic nerd?
Not really. My wife calls me that too. So.
How did you meet your wife?
I met her at a bar.
Oh, did you really?
Yes.
Why aren't you like overweight? What's going on here? What? If you met her at a bar, that's good for you.
Okay.
You don't look like the stereotypical comic artist. That's what I'm trying to say. How do you maintain such a girlish figure is what I'm really asking.
My girlish figure.
Do you have a workout regimen?
No.
Really?
I did for a while, but then.
What was it?
I think I went on the elliptical for half an hour. And
yeah.
And then kind of. I mean, it wasn't really very, very well formed. And then it kind of got lost when I had a baby, and now I don't have any time for anything.
How do you find time to draw if you have a baby and a wife and a job and an elliptical workout regimen? How do you do it?
Well, the elliptical got eliminated, and now I just walk the baby to daycare. And
that's good.
That's my workout. Okay. It's walking, you know, from my home to Natural History Museum.
So. Well, I saw that you were sketching when you got here. Do you always carry a sketchbook with you?
Yes, I always carry that, or a sketchbook, not that.
Is that how you figure out what you're going to turn into a full-length piece, or is it just I have to draw because I have to draw?
It's largely I have to draw because I have to draw, but I do have notes in it, and I do a lot of stuff where I will draw small pieces that I will add to a larger piece or work out things in it or do storyboarding or layouts or any of those things.
You could tell that you're passionate about storyboarding and layouts because you started rolling your eyes at your own art when you talked about that.
I wasn't trying to roll my eyes. I think that was more of a thought. I was like looking up because I was trying to. I was if I looked this way, my brain would bring the thoughts down to my mouth. I think that's more what I was doing.
That's not how anything works. Anyways,
I know.
I'm just being so mean to you, and you're such a nice man.
I'm usually very mean.
Are you really?
Yeah, I can be very mean.
Actually, that's the one qualifier you have to have to write for Brightest Young Things. You have to be very, very mean. That's way too DC, and I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. Anyways, I used to love reading comics from about 10 to 14, 15. I'd buy all the X-Men, the Daredevil. And then in college, I got into the Top Shelf era, but I've kind of been out of the loop for the past 5-6 years. For someone like me, what should I be reading to get back into it?
It all depends on what you like. The great thing about comics right now is genres are starting to be explored a lot more. It's gotten to be real broad, so people are doing comics about just about anything. So if you like just kind of anything you might be interested in, somebody's probably making a comic about it.
The last comic I read, I think, was the Brian Post saying Santa stuff. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No,
I don't know. At the end of the world, and then Santa essentially quits, and it's Armageddon, and it's very, very lewd. And do you know who Brian Posehn is?
No.
This is the worst possible comic to reference, and I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. For the person that has seen the X-Men movies, for the person that has seen the Spider-Man movies and thinks that comics are not good, what would you tell them to read to convince them there's actually worthwhile things?
I'm trying to think of stuff that I really like lately. But that it's worth saying. I mean, I like a lot of the Mike Mignola stuff, where he does Hellboy and BPRD, which is more of a superhero-y sort of genre comic. But I also like a ton of crime comics. If you want to go back and search for it, the greatest crime comic ever is Stray Bullets by David Laffam.
Okay.
Which is brilliant, and he needed to make money, so he started doing commercial work, like working for the DC and Marvel and doing that stuff, and abandoned the,
really?
The comic because it didn't make him enough money, which is just a crime because it was a really great book.
Would you quit your Smithsonian job if you can work 24/7 on comics?
If I could work full time, I would quit my Smithsonian job.
Really? Why?
Because I much rather draw than print out other people's art.
Fair
enough. And mount it to pieces of wood.
But isn't that wood very important?
No, it's very important. I really like my job. It's a nice job. It's a nice day job. I work at a central location, so I work for all the museums, and I do a lot of different work on a lot of different
perks?
Exhibits. Perks? Well, I mean, I have health care.
Ooh! Yeah, you know, isn't that depressing that that's a perk?
Yeah.
All these people from Europe are laughing at us.
Well, I
met a guy in here earlier. He spoke 4 different languages. He has the crappiest job, and he has 3 months off a year, and he's spending a month of it just in America, just hanging out, going everywhere, just full of intense jealousy. That's all I am.
Yeah, well, we were working on an exhibit about Cyprus,
okay,
which was basically the Cypriot government rented a hall in natural history to advertise Cyprus, but so we were working with a curator from Cyprus, and there was a point when we were trying to gather up all the images for it. And we were having some trouble when we contacted him, and he was like, well, you have to figure out what you need right away, because in 2 days we're going on our month vacation where everybody on Cyprus is off for a month. And he was like, so you have to do it now because there will be nobody around. And we were all just like, what?
That's
you guys
awesome.
Going to be off for a month? And we're
Let's go to Cyprus.
Yeah.
Let's plug the DC Conspiracy. One of the things I like about you guys is you guys release anthologies featuring a ton of DC and other local artists. What's coming up? I think it's Bullets 2 is coming up.
We have Magic Bullet 3 is
Magic
out now.
Magic Bullet 3 is
I
out
actually
now.
Have
okay.
copies with me.
Oh, brilliant. Excellent.
If anybody in the room wants
Great.
Copies. People on the internet can get
They
copies.
Are forever
they'll
doomed.
They'll have to go to places where they are.
Yeah.
But Magic Bullet 3 just came out. We just premiered it at the Small Press Expo, which was just a few days ago,
yes.
A week or so ago. We are working on Magic Bullet 4. And
what is Magic Bullet for the uninitiated?
Magic Bullet is a free comics newspaper that the DC Conspiracy is putting out. It's become a kind of popular format, but it's a lot of fun because you get the large page. So everybody does a full page, and then it cycles throughout. Somebody gets the middle spread.
I think I got issue 2. Is it offensive if I tell you that it's good bathroom reading?
No.
It's
no,
very
no, no.
good bathroom reading. I highly recommend it, especially because it kind of impresses guests. But then again, you realize, like, how many guests do you want in your bathroom touching comics? It's getting weird at this point. Anyways, anything to plug?
Well, right now I'm working on I'm coloring my friend's graphic novel, Shock, which is about the migration of a great white shark. And it should be out from Oni Press next year.
I like Oni. I know them. They're
yeah.
good.
No, they're good. They put out some good books,
yes.
And Shock is going to be one of those good books.
Lincoln, don't you have a Lincoln piece?
The Lincoln piece is very popular, but it's kind of in hiatus.
Tell people what
I'm
it
sorry.
Is.
All right. One of my earliest concepts that I came up with was the League of Lincoln, which is basically a team of Lincoln-themed superheroes. So it's just all superheroes that they had various different regular superpowers, but they were all... had to have either the beard, the mole, the hat, or a suit. And so I would have people like Chain Lincoln, which was basically like Danzig with a Lincoln beard. There was Lincoln Lord, who was the little Superman. Lincoln Log, I think he was a swamp thing. There was oh man.
I know that you're like bored with it, but
no. I'm not bored with it. I really like it. I just got as I have terrible ADD, and I keep like because it's not my day job. That's the thing. If I could do it 24 hours a day, I'd have a lot of these projects done. But it's because it's not my day job. I have to cram it into this tiny period of time, and so if I get bored at the moment, I kind of jump onto the next thing. But I'm trying to be much better about it. So I'm working on Shock, which is for somebody else, so I've got to work on it.
Use your health insurance to get better medication and finish the Lincoln book.
Yes, yes, I know, and I will work on the Lincoln book. But I'm also working on a book called Nancy Boy, which is sort of a teen crime thing about a teenage girl who gets trapped in a mob-controlled gated community and has to fight her way out with a field hockey stick.
Okay, that actually has more commercial potential. Do
and
that
it's,
one.
And it's written by a former Brightest Young Things writer as well, Lord Jason, who used to do the movie reviews a long time ago and sings in the band Death by Sexy.
I like that band. Yeah. We're going to end this interview like we end all interviews when I remember the book. A question from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Stock, PhD. This is an awful, awful book. And if you feel uncomfortable, you can always lie, okay?
Okay.
So I need you to pick a number between 13 and 200.
35.
Why 35?
I just turned 35 a few
really?
Days ago. Yes.
You look fantastic. Good job.
Oh, thank you.
We retire the questions. Number 35. Awesome. If you learned that a 50-year-old woman was engaged to be married to a man of 21, what would your first reaction be?
Burn her! Burn her alive!
How would you feel differently if the ages were reversed, so if the woman was 21 and the man was 50?
I'd burn them both. No, actually, I mean, I have no problem with that whatsoever.
All right, well...
Except for the fact that it's a, you know, a sin against nature and God.
Age ain't nothing but a number.
No, it is.
There you go.
Thank you.
Evan, where can people find you?
My website is etkeeling.com, and DC Conspiracy website is dcconspiracy.com.
Evan Keeling, everybody.
All right, thank you.
You, Me, Them, Everybody wants to thank you for listening and also for subscribing to us on iTunes. We can always use the extra support, though. So why don't you say something nice about us on iTunes? Go ahead, give us a 5-star rating. This type of thing helps us out a lot and doesn't cost you a dime. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
You're getting better. You're not there yet. You're getting better. It'll be there, but you don't get a mic anymore. You're done with that. Yeah, it didn't sound right. Yeah, it didn't sound as good as it could have been. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the pseudo stage, he's one of my favorite DC comedians, and he has the most delightful laugh a human could ask for. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Haywood Turnipseed Jr.
Hey, peace. Go ahead. Go ahead. No, please. Some 5-1. Come on, man. 5-1 by the doors. Let's go. Let's get it. No, never mind. Sorry. Give it up for the guitarist, y'all. Give it up for the guitarist. He's doing this thing. I've seen Lenorable, and this is not sounding like Lenorable. What's happening, Hostel? This does not look like the Eli Roth movie I saw. I was expecting Jay Hernandez, expecting to get killed, expecting to have some sex with white women. How are you doing? It's okay. It's okay. I met Rosa Parks once. It's all right. Ba-dum-bum-tsh. So what's happening, man? What's happening? This is awesome, man. I was listening to the comic artist guy and like hearing all the comic book stuff. And I just watched X-Men First Class this weekend and Thor. And I'm like, shit, I could have stayed home and listened to comic books. How you doing, mama? You are fine. Yes, you are. All right, let me tell a joke. Here's a joke about conspiracies. Barack Obama is not the first black president. I know we got a lot of people from, who's here from out of town? All right. See, I do that comic thing. Who's here from out of town? Heyo. But anywho, So the joke is, the conspiracy is that Barack Obama is the first black president. He is not, sir. Abraham Lincoln is. Oh, he is. And I can prove it. You know how I can prove it? Because like a real nigga, he got shot in the theater. Probably for talking. Well, he was known for giving speeches. So they said to him, he's up there sitting in the booth, "Hey, Mr. President, tell that speech you told to unite the country back then. 4 score and 7, pop, 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 shut up, nigga." And then that was the first time that a theater got shut down during the first weekend because a black guy got shot. They would do not tell you that on the History Channel. Hey-o. So speaking of great speakers, I like great speakers. Like recently we had that dedication to Dr. Martin Luther King on the Mall. You guys familiar with Dr. Martin Luther King? And how he went and like, gave that I Have a Dream speech. Like I'm up here living my dream right now. This is the dream. But I had to work out before I got here. You know what I mean? Like actually, like that joke I told about Abraham Lincoln being the first black president. I had to work that out on my wife. You know, so I wonder if Dr. Martin Luther King worked out his speech, his I Have a Dream speech, with his wife. I wonder if he was sitting around like, hey, Coretta, I got to give this speech in about 6 months. I don't know what I'm going to say. Sit down and listen to me. Okay, but it better be quick because I got to feed these kids, nigga. So he goes, Coretta, here it is. I have a unique thought today. I have an amazing idea. What are you talking about, Martin? Okay, I'm trying to grab you, Coretta. I'm trying to grab you. I have a vision. A vision? What are you saying? Are you trying to use words to free people? Nigga, you are dreaming. That's it. I have a dream today. I have a dream. You have a dream? All right. So I'm free to go? At last. That's the end, Coretta. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. I think you just got us a dedication on the Mall and a monument. Long live Dr. King. Oh, look at y'all. Y'all so nice. I can tell y'all from out of town. Because that joke was terrible. I mean, that was Dr. Martin Luther King, and I turned him into just a regular husband. I'm a regular husband. That's why I do jokes like that. Like, I just have my wife, she looks at me sometimes like, are you going out tonight? And I'm like, no, I'm staying home. She's like, damn, why? And I'm like, because we have these kids together. And she's like, no, that's why you pay me. It's called prostitution. It's not marriage. But since I married her, it's called love. You guys just have a new baby? No? Sorry. Because having a new baby is awesome. I got a new baby. I got a 15-year-old son, and I have a 2-month-old son. Yeah, the dynamics are crazy. I'm picking up socks all over the place, but I'm picking up little baby socks and YouTube socks. Do you know why I call them YouTube socks? Because I had no idea that you could use the internet for all of that stuff. I swear to God, I didn't have that. I just had regular, I had to sneak in my stepdaddy's Playboys to do that. Now he just goes online, and next thing you know, I'm picking up DNA. I swear to God, I feel like it's an episode of CSI in his bedroom. I'm like, who got raped in here? Jesus, you better stop doing that with the computer. You could get a virus. Especially if you go poking around on Facebook. Silly boy. So man, how many of y'all like that marijuana stuff? This is the first time I've done a show where I actually said, damn, I should have brought some marijuana. Because I could have, so people would have helped me smoke it. So you guys are hip. You guys are from foreign places. Where are you from, sir? From Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia. Right on. I would have thought Mexico. It's okay. Assalamu alaikum. Peace to you. Where are you guys from? You should have said Mexico. Because I will smoke with a Mexican. I don't smoke with people from here because they show up at my door. I like living in D.C. because right now the marijuana is medicinal and legal and I'm crazy. And I have sleep apnea, so it's okay. That is a weird laugh, isn't it? It's kind of like Shaquille O'Neal and Darth Vader got together and said, oh, ho, ho, twism. You have, what's the line from Darth Vader? What do you say? I like that Darth Vader line. Not Luke, I am your father. Oh, when he goes, I find your lack of faith disturbing. I wish I could choke somebody just like that. I wish I could choke my chicken like that. Anyway, bad joke. Back to the jokes. So I was talking about marijuana, man. And why, here's the thing about marijuana. I don't understand why marijuana is illegal. Like, you look like you love smoking marijuana. Don't you? You got glaucoma, don't you? No. Did you star in Reefer Madness? You don't understand what I'm saying? Where are you from? Europe, Mexico. Do you dig it? All illegal aliens are Mexican to me. Even Superman. Superman is an illegal alien. I don't care how you slice it. Could you imagine Superman down there at INS getting booked? Okay, I'm talking about Clark Kent. Don't worry about it. Hakuna Matata, that's for you. Hakuna Matata. She understands Disney. So anyway, I'm talking about this smoking this marijuana. You dig what I'm saying? I like marijuana. Like, do you smoke marijuana, man? No, you can. It's okay. Okay. Well, you sure you want to? You want to try it later? Me, you, her, and the lady in the green shoes? We can start a mean trilogy. I don't call them threesomes. I call them trilogies. But anywho. Marijuana. I'm talking about marijuana. And why is marijuana illegal? You dig it? Like, you smoke hashish, huh? Exactly. See, brother from Saudi knows what I'm talking about. Are you Muslim? Okay, so leave it to a Muslim to know what I'm talking about when it comes to smoking hashish. Hashish, she knows. So we're talking about hashish and why hashish or marijuana is illegal in these United States of America. I don't understand that. See, it's legal for me to watch a midget get fucked by a bull on YouTube, but it's not legal for me to smoke a joint and enjoy this midget getting fucked by this bull on YouTube. Ladies and gentlemen, a terrorist win when I can't smoke a joint and enjoy a midget getting fucked by a bull. Do you know why? Because, like all marijuana smokers know, some days you're the midget, some days you're the bull. She's like, that's too raunchy. I got one about coochie later that you're going to love. Coochie and chocolate cookies. But anywho, marijuana being illegal, man, it's silly to me, man. It's just silly to me. You know why? Because the Declaration of Independence was written on hemp paper. Literally, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that every man has the right to get high. Because you know what's in the Declaration of Independence? Thoughts of independence and freedom. Do you know what's in my blunts? Thoughts of independence and freedom. Hey, 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 declare your independence every day. Do you know why? Because they sell stuff like MSG. That's legal. You know what MSG is, sir? You don't even understand what I'm saying, dude. Okay, you're cutting into my time. Explaining. Thank you, Encyclopedia Brown. But anywho, MSG. You guys know what MSG is? You do, I know, sir. Monosodium glutamate. You know what monosodium glutamate is? This is stuff they put in food to make food taste like food. Like, they might put MSG in them chocolate chip cookies to make that chocolate taste like chocolate. I don't know why you got to do that with marijuana. Just makes chocolate taste good. You know, marijuana is beautiful because it makes the munchies taste awesome. And marijuana, quite occasionally, makes my wife taste like chocolate. Hey, 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 eat chocolate every day. Told you I had a coochie joke about chocolate later that you was going to love. And scene. So how am I doing on time, sir?
One more.
I got one more. Let's see. Do I have one more joke for you guys? You guys are beautiful. Give yourselves a round of applause because you guys are beautiful people. I'm digging this hostel, man. You guys are so much better than the last audience I performed in front of. Really, man, they got up and took a smoke break. Right in front of my set, they was like, I'll be back for the next guy. You're boring me. And that was the last time I took my mama to a comedy show. No. Okay, here's a joke. It's a crude joke, but so is my whole act, right? It's a crude joke. Here's something I don't understand. I don't understand this. I found out that your man Adolf Hitler was a vegetarian. He's a vegetarian. He's a vegan. I don't understand that when he killed 6 million people. But I guess because they were kosher, it was okay. It was crude, wasn't it? I warned you. He said one more. Okay, I do. Okay. I tell a funny joke. I'll tell a good joke. Look at it. They're like, black guy, tell a funny joke. Don't be telling jokes like that, nigga. I'll tell you a joke about my African friend. I got an African friend. My name is Haywood Turnipseed Jr., right? Strange name, right? Here in America, it's an African name. It's African for his people who don't run very fast. Oh, that's funny. That's funny, but kosher is not. Okay. Anywho, so so my African friend sees my ID, right? We hanging out. He sees my identification, and he goes, my passport. And he's like, hey, Turnipseed. Oh, no, my God. What kind of name is that? My brother. What is wrong with you, my brother? You should change your name. Back home in Africa, my brother, your name would be Uncle Nkulu, my brother. You would be a Zulu warrior, my brother. And I was like, really, Pierre? That's what Shaka the Zulu translates it to. Pierre. He speaks better French than Jacques Chirac and Pepe Le Pew. But I'm wrong. So he goes, okay, ha, ha, ha. Hakuna Matata, you're funny. I say, Hakuna Matata, Pierre, what does that mean? He goes, oh, see, you don't know. Back home, this means no worries. And he said it just like that, no worries. I said, au contraire, mon frère, Pierre. Here in America, where those words belong to a frozen head dude named Walt Disney, it actually means copyright infringement. You can't say it without paying somebody for it, nigga. And I call you that because you missed the first boat, my friend. Hakuna Matata. And I thank you guys. Hakuna Matata.
Haywood Turnipseed.
Peace.
Haywood's done the show before. The first time Haywood did it, a very, very family-friendly set, 8 minutes of everyone could have enjoyed it, and it was in a bar. Yet when we do it here, I want to go with the bluest I possibly can. Thanks, buddy.
I've changed.
I've noticed.
I've changed.
Also, the Hitler joke didn't go over well because you said your guy Hitler.
Oh. Well, he's not my guy.
No, but you referred to everyone in the crowd as being on Hitler's side.
Oh. That's, well, it's a work in progress, see? It's like the dream speech. It's a work in progress. One day, y'all gonna be like, okay. But I heard that before. Huh?
Yeah, what's going on with the wife?
She don't like jokes about Hitler. Because she's a vegetarian.
How often did you get in trouble at school because of your laugh?
Oh, man, since kindergarten.
Has it always been this deep?
It's been like, yeah.
Are you the only person ever to get a date based on your laugh?
Yeah. I'm sure not, but.
Your 15-year-old scared of your voice?
Oh, no, but his room is right. Here's what my wife did. This is my wife, right? We have a couple dogs. So she went out and bought those, like the barking dog devices to keep them from, you know, real some.
A shock collar.
Shock collar. But it's inhumane to me because every time I laugh, it goes off.
Are you serious?
Every time I'm sitting there, I'm watching TV. And the dogs are like, see, it wasn't for us. It was for you.
So you're torturing animals on a minute basis.
She's torturing me. The animals are fine.
Fair enough.
Peter would be mad if we said different. Hey-o.
Let's end this interview with a question. Pick up questions. Lovin's pretty stuck. I need you to pick a number between 13
and... Before you ask me a question, please give it up for Big Mike also, who is security and a comedian right here in the place to be.
Plugs. You got any plugs,
Big
Mike?
Right here in the place to be.
Plugs. You got any plugs? You can see Big Mike here.
And my security between 13 and 200. Well, is 36 available? Because the gentleman prior to me picked 35, and I just turned 36 in... He picked 35. That's the guy. 36 is right.
You get 37.
37.
When you have sex with someone for the first time, do you feel like you are making an implicit commitment even if nothing is stated? If so, what is that commitment, and how does it change if your intimacy continues for a number of weeks or months?
How does it change? It changes.
You haven't said anything yet, and you're laughing.
Well, because the whole thing is like, if you have sex with somebody and it becomes a commitment, what does it lead?
No. Does it become a commitment?
Yes, it becomes a commitment.
Okay.
And it leads to you sitting on this couch next to you telling jokes with a ring around your finger and a noose around your neck. And no.
Yes.
Love is beautiful. Love is everybody. I believe in gay marriage. Everybody should be happy.
You got any plugs?
Oh, yes, I do. Tomorrow, I'll be at my son's school because he had got in trouble today.
Oh, no. What did he do? What did he do?
I don't know. The principal called me. Like, I go to the school, though. I was like, you know, between the hours of 8 and 5, he's your problem. But anyway.
It's good.
So tomorrow, I'll be at the school being a parent. And this Friday, I'll be out somewhere. You know what? Friend me up on Facebook, Heywood Turnip Seed Jr. And you can follow me on Twitter, I guess. Is that what you call
Twitter.
It? Twitter. We can twat on Twitter. Woody Seed, at Woody Seed, W. That's two O's, two E's. And just peace to everybody.
Hey, thanks for listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. It would be awfully kind of you to consider donating to keep this show alive. But we understand that money may be tight right now. So if you can't donate, please sign up on our mailing list. We promise it's not too annoying. Thanks for listening. And now back to the show.
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing? Give it up for that guy that was just up here, that nasty. Oh, wait, who was that guy? He was dirty, filthy mouth. So I might need to call his mama. But anywho, this next comic coming to the stage is really funny, and he is you guys' very own security guard / checking you in / comedian / funny friend. Please, get your nice. We like to do a nice slow clap, like the 80s movies. There it is. There it is. Get that groovy clap going. Get that groovy clap going for my friend, your friend, funny man, Big Mike.
All right, come on. Keep that going for Heywood. Come on, y'all. Keep it going. Keep it going.
Yeah.
Hey, I really appreciate y'all giving it up for me, man. Because I actually like working in the hostel. Who likes staying here? Everybody likes staying here? Clap for the hostel. Give it up for the hostel. Because, fellas, y'all can agree with this, right? It's all pretty women in the hostel. Am I right? There's a bunch of pretty women. Give it up for the women, man. There's a bunch of pretty women in here. Thank you. And really, let me just tell you, I like seeing breasts that ain't mine. I'm just excited about that. So, I mean, I just love it. You know what I'm saying? You know, because I love breasts. I'm trying to grow my own. You know what I'm saying? It's just... I always get in trouble with me and my wife. We be arguing all the time. She be like, suck my breast. No, you suck my breast, goddamn. I suck yours all the time. I'm sick of it. Everybody always talking to me about... Oh, let her finish laughing. Go ahead, boo, finish laughing. You all right? You good? Everybody always talking to me about, Big Mike, you got to lose weight. You got to lose weight. And I know I got to lose weight. I went to Weight Watchers, well, just to drop my wife off. But, because they had nothing for me. You know what I'm saying? Weight Watchers always talking about, you can eat your own food. What the hell I need you for then? I don't if I can eat my own food. I'm all right with that. You know what I'm saying? Plus, I'm a true fat boy. You understand? Thank you. Thank you. I'm a true fat boy. The other day, I was driving up a hill and got tired. You hear me? Because I was... That's me, man. I'm a true fat boy. I pulled the car at the top of the hill. I got out the car and was like, whew, Lord. Whew, that was a hell of a hill. I looked behind me. My shadow was out of breath. I'm like, damn, you all right? I am a true fat boy. I'm serious, man. A friend called me on the phone the other day. Somebody had just passed away in her family. So she was crying on the phone. So she crying so hard, I'm crying with her. And I'm on the phone, like I told you, she caught me at a true fat boy moment. I'm on the phone and I'm crying. I'm like, oh, God. I am so sorry. Oh, God. I don't know how this happened. Oh, my God. I don't know what to say. Oh, my God. Hold on. Hold on real quick. Yeah, let me get a two-piece with fries. Large. I told you it was a true fat boy moment, goddamn. I'm feeling good, man, because I like old school music, man. Anybody like old school music in here? Old school music fans? Okay, I'm a true old school music fan. You know what I'm saying? I grew up and I used to listen to New Edition all the time. Any New Edition fans here? Yeah, New Edition was a group, wasn't it? That's indeed, man. And I went to see. Thank you, baby. Get this side. Thank you, because New Edition was my group, man. You know, they'd come out on stage, man. And, you know, it'd be so. When I was younger, I used to try to be like New Edition. I used to try to sing like them and dress like them. I even had a little jerry curl just like they used to have until the juice started dripping on my hamburger, and I was like, nah, I can't mess with y'all. You know, I used to be in the mirror. Every time a song came on, I would be in the mirror like, popcorn love, and it's more than that to me. Popcorn love, just wait, they will see. That used to be me, man. And I go to a concert, and if you go to a concert, it's like a rock band. As soon as you come out, all you hear is, and my wife be like, Mike, will you shut the hell up? Cause I can't even hear a word they saying. Like, shut up, heifer. I pay my $75. I'ma scream if I want to. You understand? Cause New Edition can sing, man. They come out on stage, they find the first lady in the audience, be like, would you love me? The nights are cold. Would you love me? People out in the audience screaming, ladies throwing their panties on stage. I got so excited, I threw my panties on stage. I was like, ah! I love you. People thought the show was over, thought the curtains was coming down. They was like, ah! Ralph suffocating, get him out of there. Look here, that's all the time I'm going to do, man. I'm Big Mike, man. I appreciate y'all.
Thank you, everybody.
Have a seat too?
Yeah, you got to have a seat.
Oh, okay. I get to get interviewed.
You hijacked the show. Of course, you get a seat.
All right.
How long have you been doing comedy?
Let me see. About 8 years now.
What makes somebody a true fat boy?
Well, if you do true fat boy things and you can admit it. Because I'm in a drive through line and I'm talking to somebody. It's hard to get off the phone with somebody when they're crying.
Where did
you? Didn't order a meal. You know, it's hard to do that.
What if you incorporated the number of the meal and put it on speaker? So it's like, ah, two. You know what I mean? It's more.
That's a good idea.
It's not that good. I apologize. Pick a number between. This is from the question. Book of Questions, Love and Sex. Pick a number between 13 and 200.
13 and 200. Well, my birthday is on the 20th, so I'm picking 20.
There you go.
Picking 20.
20 today?
No, not the 20th. February. It's on the 20th of February.
That's not today.
Okay, no.
Is it
today.
Your half birthday? I don't know. Have you remained close friends with any former lovers? If not, would you like to have done so?
Well, actually, I remain close friends with all my lovers, and my wife is pissed off about it. It's truly pissed off.
Why are you friends with them?
Because, I mean, you know, just because we stopped being lovers, that don't mean we can't not be friends.
That's
opinion.
Exactly what it means.
Well, not in my opinion. I mean, everybody, I'm friends. If you friends... Then you friends.
Nope.
You're not, if you stop having sex, that means you're not friends.
That's exactly what that means.
No, for you, not
yes,
for me.
That's why I'm with one woman now, and I don't talk to anyone else. It's a very solitary life.
Is that why you dress like that?
Yeah, that's why I dress like that.
Because I'm just... There's no woman in here going to talk to you with black socks on, man. I understand why
they're in a relationship.
Gray. Oh, they're gray?
They're gray.
Oh, I'm sorry. They must have faded or something.
No,
oh, they're gray. I see
they're
it.
Gray.
I see it. My bad,
you
my bad.
Poor eyesight. Where can people find you, Big Mike?
I don't know, man.
B-I-G-G-M-I-K-E on
If you look me
Facebook.
Up on Facebook, yeah, B-I-G-G-M-I-K-E on Facebook.
And here,
Hostel. I'm a Hostel. Give it up for the Hostel.
Give it up for Big Mike, everybody.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you for listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. Did you also know that? In addition to You, Me, Them, Everybody, we also produce You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents every Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, 2319 West Belmont, 21 and up, and full lineup at youmethemeverybody.com.
I got an email a few days ago from somebody that's currently staying at the Hostel, and they said they had a lot of ideas and things and blah, 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 and they really wanted to be on the talk show tonight. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's please put your hands together for Peter, everybody. Peter's going to come up here.
Hello, yes, hello.
Hi, hi, you're Peter.
Yes, I'm Peter.
Nice to meet you, Peter.
Peter Stevens. My friends, they call me Peter Pumpkin Eater, and I live here at the Hostel International.
Wait, you live here or you're visiting?
I live here at the Hostel
International. Wait, wouldn't it be cheaper for you to just, like, get an apartment?
No, because maybe I have to be here.
Why do you have to be here?
Because maybe a higher power wants me here, Brandon.
All right, Peter, you said you wanted to come on the show and talk about stuff. What exactly do you want to talk? Really, you couldn't wait to sip your cola? Okay.
Yes. I wanted to come on here and talk to everyone here in the audience about a little TV show that I like to call Glee. Who here's heard of Glee? Let me get a clap.
We've all heard of Glee, Peter. It's a very, very popular show.
Well, I know that because it's my favorite show. But did you guys know that the name of Glee isn't actually Glee?
What's the name of the show Glee? The actual name of the show?
Well, the angel Jeremiah said to me last night in a slumber that the name of the show Glee is The Coming.
The name of the show Glee, via the angel that came to you in your slumber,
came to me in my slumber.
The Coming.
The Coming, yes.
Why would it be called Glee then?
Because it is a harbinger of the coming apocalypse in the year 2012. And I believe in the destruction of mankind.
So in 4 months, we're all going to perish because of Glee.
Well, yes. Well, Glee is the beginning of the coming of the apocalypse. Let me tell you, did you know that Glee cost $3 million an episode to make?
Okay. What does this have to do with anything?
$3 million? Three is half of six. Six, six, six.
Okay, that's
Illuminati.
That doesn't make any sense. That's just you're arbitrarily taking numbers to mean
Beelzebub?
Something
else. What? Did you know?
You have a little trouble there, Peter?
I live here at the Hostel International.
Okay, we got that.
And you can find me generally from 11 to 2 o'clock here in the lobby.
A.M. or P.M.?
A.M. and P.M.
Okay.
Because it is 11 to 2 o'clock. You figure out whether it's night or
daytime. Okay.
Because it could be either, because 11 and...
I get it. Continue. That was a bad question.
So you can find me talking about the show Glee with people from all around the world. I've met Scandinavians.
Wait, so all you do is 3 hours a day or six, I'm not sure, you just harass kind visitors about the show Glee and how it's the coming of the apocalypse?
Well, yes. I'd like to inform the masses that the world is ending, and I'd like to let them all know that it's because of a little show that I like to call Glee.
Have you seen an episode of Glee?
I've seen all the episodes.
Name one thing that happens in one episode of Glee.
Well, one of the main actresses is named Lea Michele. She's a hot commodity.
Wait, that's the name of the actress. What happens in the show?
Well,
you haven't seen an episode, have you?
In one episode.
Have you ever... Where are you from? You're not from here. Why are you here? Why did you contact me?
My name is Peter.
No, it's not.
My friends call me Peter Pumpkin.
You don't have any friends.
And I'm here to talk to you guys about the end of the world. And let me tell you guys, it's not the end of the world. I mean, it is, but it's going to be fine. We're going to be destroyed as a human race.
All right, you have to go now.
Where are you from, ma'am?
I'm from Chicago.
And tell me, in Chicago, or as they like to call it, the Rainy City. Boom.
Okay, you have to go now. You're done.
So tell me.
No, there's nothing to tell you. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Tell me, Are you pure-blooded American?
Okay, you have to go now.
Or do you have any of that dirty Greek in
okay,
you?
Time to go. Peter, everybody. Peter.
Tell me something.
Nope, time to go. Time to go.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.
Hi, I'm Rachel.
And you are?
I am one of the members of Ugly Purple Sweater.
Ugly Purple Sweater has played this show before. You're one of my favorite DC bands. Thank you so much for doing this.
No, thank you. This is an amazing experience. I've never been in this hostel before.
It's a weird thing. Not many people, if you're in DC, have been in a hostel of the same city. So it's nice that you guys can do it. Why should people stick around while you set up and play for you guys? I really enjoy your band. I think it's very accessible music. How would you describe it?
I hate this question because it's always very hard, but I'm going to hear it. We're going to go for it. So you should stick around. First of all, they're going to be two guitars played at the same time, electric guitar and acoustic guitar. Well, there's a melodica, and we're going to play three songs that I would say spread the genres. One could be a little more folky. One's a little more rocky. One's a little bit like a lullaby. So it will be a nice evening.
Why couldn't you just say you play very accessible pop tunes with an Americana and folk influence?
See, this is why I need you because
I just said it. Okay, let's end this interview with a question from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Stack, PhD.
Okay.
Once again, if you're uncomfortable, you feel free to lie. Pick a number between 13 and 200.
Let's do one in the hundred. Let's do 128.
Why 128?
Well, yesterday I had a friend ask me how old I was, and I said I was 27, and I was wrong. I'm 28. I forgot. Really?
When's your birthday?
May 2nd.
Ooh, you're a newbie? I don't know. Yeah, whatever. What are the main things you feel you want or need from a life partner? How are these different from what they were when you first began to think about such things?
It probably hasn't actually changed that much, really.
Really?
Really. Not that much, really.
What are you looking for?
I would say somebody I could laugh with. That's sort of a,
Haywood?
You know, normal. Yeah, exactly.
Haywood?
He clearly, somebody who thinks I'm funny.
Haywood. Just
awesome.
Just laugh for no reason. That wasn't funny at all, but continue.
And, somebody I could travel with.
Haywood's a comic. He likes to
like
travel
hostels.
And dig out.
I could go to hostels with them. You know this. You know me. I don't know.
So you're gonna marry Haywood at the end of the show. You like guys with two kids and a wife, right?
Already, that already have those.
Yeah, yeah. You'll be wife too.
I don't know. Not that package.
All right. Well, we'll reconsider. We'll negotiate. They're gonna set up. Ian's gonna play guitar. Please stick around. Thank you guys so much for coming. And Ugly Purple Sweater's gonna play.
These women we trust have abandoned us and saved us. Whoa, 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 whoa. Just beneath the surface, our frogs are gonna go to sleep. We were dancing on the base of a skull of some weird animal. It was all we were always looking further. weird dreams like a festering sore. It don't hurt anymore. It don't hurt no more. We stay for shook. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Thanks very much.
Keep rolling?
Yeah, you guys
cool.
Are good.
You Boba?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you what. She looked just like my mother. And let me tell you what. Is it weird that doesn't scare me? Whoa. And if we can play the part, we would know the end even for the start. We started staying in. I started sleeping over. We just wanted to be close. We batten down the hatches. Whoa. And if we can play the part, we would know the end even for the start. We have the best sex of all our friends, even if we never talk to them. Let me tell you about oh, ba ba ba. Cause if we go out, talk with our friends, we might see that we're wrong. And we can't be wrong like a song with a chorus that bores us at first. But the more that you hear, it's determined. It's determined. Whoa. When we did emerge was later in the season. She said she's going out, but back in time for supper. Whoa. And if I could hold her hand, all of the world would then understand. We'd take it out in the neighborhood, showing everyone that we know it's good. And if I could hold her hand, all of the world would then understand. We'd take it out in the neighborhood, showing everyone that we know it's good. Let me tell you about it. Well, let me tell you.
Ba, 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 ba. Oh.
Ba, ba, ba.
Ba, 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 ba. Oh.
Ba, ba, ba.
Ba, 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 ba. Oh.
We're called Ugly Purple Sweater, and we have stickers that we'd love to pass around.
We
so
just got them. I'm very excited.
Everybody take a sticker.
There's also a funny story. I usually play banjo, but for a myriad of reasons. I couldn't get my banjo tonight, so our set was affected by that. When you don't have a banjo, it just changed it. So I don't have a banjo, but
this last song is about traveling, and maybe it's something that some of you young travelers could identify with, which is when you're traveling abroad, but you have a significant other back at home, this can cause difficulties for you in your travels. So this is a song about not cheating on your girlfriend when you're in a foreign country. That's what this song's about. Not doing it. Because don't do it. Just from personal experience, you may think that it's a good idea, right? I may be speaking to one of you right now, and I just want to help you avoid a problem. Don't do it. You'll get home, you'll feel very good about yourself, as opposed to the contrary. Yeah, seriously. There's no hustle or strife, just a silence as big as you want it. Look, I leave the house and the reveler shouts, and I sing by myself by the water. And God knows that I would never. There's too many ways to feel alone. The girl in the white comes out into the night, and she tells me she likes how I whistle. We call to the boats, and it seems so remote how my girlfriend is sleeping back stateside. And God knows that I would never. There's too many ways to feel alone. And then when you're walking along on the boulevard, then while you're standing alone on the portico, when were you thinking of telling her that God knows that I would never. There's too many ways to feel alone. Thanks so much. Thanks, Brandon, and everybody who performed this evening. It was lovely. Thanks a lot.